Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
We are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Podcast starts now. What's up, everybody? You are listening to Stradio Lab, and you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, thank you for taking care of yourself.
Thank you for supporting us. Is self-care. It's self-love. It's self-respect.
Yeah, it's a more Christian form of self-care, because by supporting someone else, you're supporting yourself.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this,
so maybe decolonize and try supporting a podcaster when you're looking for self-care tips. Sam, we have to address the fact that we are, I would say, on the brink of collapse.
I think we
and
should.
And I know you hate addressing things like this, but that's why you have to do it.
Okay. I'm not that afraid to address the fact that we're on the brink. But yeah, we are on the brink of collapse. Would you like to sort of explain why?
We are kind of in this... We are kind of in this week where we accidentally planned about a month's worth of things in 1 week that we're doing together.
Mm-hmm.
So we just had our New York Comedy Festival show last night. Today, I personally had a full day of work. And then we are recording now and then have a 10 p.m. It is now 8 p.m. on a Thursday. We have a 10 p.m. show that we are doing after this. A 10 p.m. live show at a venue. Then we are coming back and leaving for Los Angeles tomorrow.
Yeah.
Where we are doing two shows in a row and then three recordings in a row. And then I very intelligently didn't take off of work. So I'm going to have to wake up at 5 a.m. and do New York hours at my job before each show and each recording. And then I'm coming back to New York City and my mom is arriving for Thanksgiving 2 days later and staying with me.
I thought the whole thing was that she was getting a hotel.
No. She lied about wanting to stay in a hotel so she would manipulate me into actually asking her to stay with me. And so what happened was she said, you know what, it's fine, I'll stay at a hotel. And then I said, oh, you know, I can recommend one. She was like, how dare you? And so now she's staying with me for almost a full week.
Wow. Well, that's insane. Yeah, I mean, how do you deal with the pressure?
I actually don't know. I think I might collapse at any given point, to be honest. And actually, I think it might happen at tonight's 10 p.m. show.
Yeah,
I think at some point I will run out of things to say and start kind of doing. It'll be one of those viral videos where rather than comedian destroys heckler, it'll be like comedian destroys random person in the audience. Our guest, who is not allowed to speak, says that her apartment is empty during that time and it's very mom friendly, and correctly then guesses that she would be offended if I suggested that.
Wow.
Would you ever house your parents in your apartment?
I've housed my uncle. I've housed my dad, but not for like 2 weeks at a time. Like, how long is your mom here?
No, it's not 2 weeks. It's like, I mean, it's she's staying with me for a few days. Then my dad is coming. Then they are staying at a hotel, and then he's leaving and she's coming back to me. It's very Greek mom kind of energy.
Yeah. I actually do feel like, now more than ever, we are at the risk of like truly running out of things to talk about in a way that
no, we can't go there. I actually do have something we have to talk about.
What?
Okay, so we have never addressed the fact that the other night when we were with our friend Max and walking in Williamsburg, someone from their stoop said, "Fuck off." And then we were like, "What?" And he said, "Fuck off." And then Max said, "Why?" And he said, "Because I just said so. Fuck off."
Yeah, we had an amazing night. You know, sort of a, and that, you know, I know you don't like when I say this, but it just really was such a gay guy's night. You know what I mean?
God. It was just like, so insecure about being a gay guy.
No, I love it. I think it's beautiful. I just think it was like, you know, it was like four gay guys, like out in Williamsburg, like eating sushi and like screaming about cum into the like ether.
Right.
And so then it was, we're walking, we're literally yelling. I believe the conversation we were having as we were passing this man, well, directly before passing this man, I was talking about this theory I have that I can't wear a jock strap because it chafes my asshole.
Oh, yeah. And we were like, that's not where the asshole is.
And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what happens, is the jeans chafe my asshole.
Right. And then you wouldn't believe us that that's not where the asshole is. So then you said that you were going to design an experiment where you had 10,000 gay guys wear jock straps and then tested whether their buttholes are chafed.
Well, no, I was going to put lipstick on their buttholes and we would see if there was lipstick on the jeans.
Oh, you wanted to see if the butthole could potentially touch the strap.
Exactly.
I see. Okay, well, I mean, at least you're using the scientific method.
Well, yeah, I'm not an idiot, of course.
Well, according to this guy who told us to fuck off, you're barely worthy of acknowledging.
So, yeah, essentially we were then talking about how the restaurants on this street looked bad and empty, and then this man sitting on the stoop yelled at us to fuck off.
And so our theories were like, either he owned the restaurant, which you disagreed with.
I disagree with most of the theories, actually. Okay. I think very instantly we were, you know, trying to spin a narrative. I could feel.
Yeah, well, we tell ourselves stories in order to.
We tell ourselves stories in order to live, in order to walk to Metropolitan. Mm-hmm. And it really just started to feel like, you know, the odds that he is the owner of the restaurant, right, and is disgruntled and like happens to be outside and like takes this very personally. It was sort of like, yeah, I mean, you could. Like, my message to anyone that believes that, go out there and you write that story.
Yeah.
Like, that is so powerful.
I think you're pointing to something so so smart, which is that much like people tried to explain away, let's say, the election of Donald Trump, we were like, we saw someone being kind of antisocial in the sense that he was yelling at four strangers. And we were like, well, he has to have a reason. You know, we were like, maybe it's economic anxiety.
Yeah. We were like, well, this is based in, you know, politics in some way.
Yeah.
And then it was like, no, I think he was just like a kind of drunk guy sitting on a stoop, like being pissed off about nothing.
And I will say this importantly, which we haven't mentioned. He had a gay voice. He was gay. So this wasn't a homophobic. What? Do you disagree?
No, I.
But it's now occurring to me that the listeners are probably like, oh, he saw four gay guys and he wanted to like. Be, you know, he was like yelling at them, no, it was internalized homophobia.
Well, I just think it's funny, again, we're making assumptions about this man. Like,
Sam,
even in
he
the
was
moment,
gay
he you think he had gay voice. I would have never called it gay voice.
What do you think He just had an accent?
He just had voice. I just heard voice. I heard a beautiful voice.
He was very voicey. You know, he should write a book of essays.
So I mean, he was definitely sassy. There was definitely attitude there.
Yes, he was sassy. And I guess anyone can be sassy.
Yes, that's not gendered or sexualized.
And it's not on me. Maybe he identifies as queer but hasn't defined it as gay.
Maybe he's straight. And
maybe he's bisexual but has a girlfriend.
Maybe he's bisexual but has a boyfriend.
Whoa.
See, anything's possible. And again, I mean, we don't know anything about this man, and yet we're desperate to sort of make sense of what was just a random moment. There's even a sense where I'm like, was he even real? Did we make him up?
Here's what I think, actually. I actually think we're thinking about this the wrong way, in that we think of ourselves as the main characters, and we were like, who is this rando telling us to fuck off? I actually think he's the main character. He was having like a kind of HBO Girls when Hannah's at the beach with the sandwich moment. And then suddenly here come these four annoying, screeching gay guys yelling about putting lipstick on buttholes. And he's like, excuse me, I'm going through a breakup.
So you're saying that we are the like under five in his
exactly.
TV
we are
show.
Getting paid day rates. We answered an ad. We're unwrapped.
We're unwrapped. Our the characters' names are Gay Guy 1, 2, 3,
literally,
and 4.
Literally, no, yes, exactly. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I just think that's crazy. And it's hard, you know, it's hard to believe that.
You just don't think that's... Okay, you're kind of rejecting every... So you just, like, reject any kind of narrative.
No, you're not letting me finish. I'm not rejecting any kind of narrative. I just think we were four gay guys walking down the street. You know what else there's four of?
Girls.
The Sex and the City girls.
Oh, and the girls' girls.
And the HBO's girls.
Okay, so
I'm pretty sure if there's four people doing something, we're the main character.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure if there's four people doing something, that's the story.
Okay, you know what? You're absolutely right.
Not to mention the fact that one of us was each of the girls.
Yes, one of us was each of the girls. And also the fact that we were having a conversation about putting lipstick on a butthole is very... That is very Sex in the City. Like that's something that isn't like improvised dialogue. That was written and edited.
That was, I mean, the network saw those lines and they like had notes for them. But they loved it. They loved the direction, but they had notes.
Right. Okay. I mean, I guess I believe you. So maybe he was he was like guy on stoop. He didn't have a name.
And I bet he improvised his like fourth fuck you.
Whoa.
Yeah, I bet there are only three in the script.
And that's why he's going places, because I actually think he's kind of like, you know, he's kind of like one of those small roles that you think is not going to be anything. But then years later, there are gifts and people are sharing, you know, me when I'm, you know, when I see XYZ. And then it's like that guy being like, fuck off.
You know what it is? It's he's kind of giving me like. Melissa McCarthy in Charlie's Angels 1.
He is absolutely Melissa McCarthying it up.
Because it's like, yeah, it's just a little bit part that he got, but like he's eating. And like people are going to take notice.
No, he's in his kind of, you know, it's like Catherine Hahn before she got the big roles.
Exactly.
Wow. Well.
I mean, should we bring in our guest now?
I think we have to bring in our guest. And, you know, I want to say we're so excited to have this guest on. Truly.
This is huge for us.
And often we lie about that, but this time we're actually telling the truth.
Or are we?
So. And the thing with this guest, you know, she is someone who is known for being intelligent, and we wanted to see, but can she also be stupid? And that's why we invited her on this podcast. So without further ado, Sam, do the honors.
Please welcome to the pod, Gia Tolentino.
I think I'm known for also being stupid, though.
Okay.
Okay. Fact checking.
Like, I was speaking at Sarah Lawrence yesterday, and these like...
Okay. I'm sorry, Gia. Already, I'm speaking at Sarah Lawrence.
No, but like, someone was like, why...
Public intellectual alert.
Someone was like, why do you think your book... Because I mean, I still am like kind of horrified / like crushed / like in disbelief at the fact that my book actually sold. And someone was like, why do you think it sold so much? And I was like, well, unfortunately, the cover is good on Instagram. People like to, people are interested in the lives of young women who are, you know, quote unquote, good at the internet, and then be like, I'm kind of stupid, you know? Like, I think I...
Oh, I see.
Like,
so you're
you know, like my brain is is so obviously damaged that I think it's approachable. But thank you for calling me smart. Can I ask questions about the butthole thing?
Oh, please.
Yeah, please.
And actually, thank you for addressing it. And not
thank you for addressing this.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. But I feel like there's no way the lipstick would get on the jockstrap unless I'm fundamentally misunderstanding what a jockstrap is. It's like a
no,
chap.
Gia. Okay,
so
Gia,
it's
you
like
are
chaps, right? It's a chap situation.
Gia, you are correct, and you are
it's
correct,
crazy
and you are not
to
fundamentally
think that your butthole.
No. That is the debate that was happening.
No, you're missing the point. Okay, no.
But Sam, you thought that your butthole would get on like the butt, the like cupping your below your cheeks.
Sam,
no,
yes,
no, that's
Sam
not
was
what
like,
thought.
I keep
that's
where,
not
when
my
I wear.
Okay, I'm go, being go silenced.
Okay. You thought it would get on like the crotch part?
I thought it would get on the jeans. I thought your asshole, because there's no butt part in the jockstrap.
Oh.
Your asshole touches the jeans and chafes on the jean on the denim.
Okay, but Gia, I guess maybe I just have a bodacious booty, but I don't think if I were to sit down not wearing
that
anything
the asshole
on my butt, my actual
out
hole
to the jean.
Yeah,
I'm like trying to locate my asshole in my seat right now.
I know, same.
I think if I wasn't I'm wearing underwear, but I don't know. Are y'all's assholes touching your pants?
Mine is absolutely not.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't have a great booty, so I envy you.
I would have said in a previous life, maybe 2 years ago before I had done this experiment for myself, I would have said, yeah, of course. I'm telling you.
Well, he wore a jockstrap. He didn't do the lipstick, to be clear.
My asshole was chafed from...
Okay. Gotcha. And you were doing the lipstick thing to prove it. Like you're going to do like, it's like a bounty,
exactly.
Bounty commercial where you see the print or whatever.
Yes.
No, my asshole, I wore a jockstrap with jeans and like trying to be like sexy, and my asshole hurt afterwards. And I think it was because it was chafing on the jeans.
Trying to be sexy. So like just like a sexy surprise for yourself, or is that like to take off your jeans and be like, ooh, I'm just wearing a jockstrap?
A little bit of both. I'm being bad.
And also, you know, often Gia, in these kinds of nights, you end up somewhere where everyone takes off their pants.
Sure. And all the better to have. But are jockstraps like, aren't jockstraps typically like kind of utilitarian looking, or are they also like fashion?
Well, that's like the thing.
Are you talking about like a harness situation, or are we talking like CVS, like medical jockstrap, you know?
That.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So Sam's sexuality generally is like, it's like, what if a smelly straight guy at the gym
were gay
was the hottest. Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love that for you. Oh yeah, actually, you know what, I'm totally seeing it and I love it.
Yeah
right, it's like you have to like, literally there are like locker room themed bars.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Like it's
cool.
Like that's sort of the vibe.
I told you guys I was tragically straight. This is why I don't know.
I love this. It's like, for instance,
honest.
Gia, you know, the other week our friends, I think neither of us actually went, but there's jockstrap night at the Eagle where everyone wears a jockstrap.
Fun.
And that's like part of the...
And is it like standard issue jockstrap or...
Well, you can have... There's no rule. I think you can fun
but
with
like,
it.
But like, what's the majority? You know what I mean? What's the...
The majority is not like some fancy expense. It's like... It's just...
Yeah, the majority
basic.
Is like
right.
Basic.
Yeah, and it's almost like fetishizing.
Right,
it's,
like
again,
hearkening
it's
like
back fetishizing
to the
like
gym,
locker room
like
culture.
High school,
yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, it's very... Very 90s.
Can I also tell you guys a quick story related to that intro?
Please.
Would love
so
that.
So when I was in the Peace Corps in 2010, I was like, I had just, well, Sam, we have to talk about this. We went to college together. Although when did you, I have a question for you and I didn't look up, I could have looked up the answer, but I wanted you to tell me and me remember this in real time. But when did you graduate?
2011.
Okay, so we're 2 years apart. So I did the Peace Corps right after UVA and I had thought about getting an MFA after UVA, but one of my professors there, like, God bless, I was like, I think I could maybe write something good. And so should I go to an MFA to see? And he was like, why don't you just try to write something good first? And then if you actually can, you can go to the MFA to like write more of it. And I was like, honestly, great advice, iconic advice. So I went to the Peace Corps and I was like, okay, but I still want to write. Like I still found myself writing in my free time. So I was like, okay, I'm going to just try to write a novel, something that I can complete. That's my goal. And I was like, okay, here's my idea. I've always been into sort of like a capsule. Like I've always wanted to write something like a script or something. But then it was a novel that takes place with an extremely like closed amount of time. Like I just rewatched Force Majeure, like that kind of vibe. like perfect movie, right? Totally. Like just one thing happens and then it just spirals over 48 hours. So it's like, okay, I'm going to write a novel about four best friends who have just graduated from college and they're walking along like the Hudson River one day and they see a plane crash in the early morning and it's the rest of that day. And the tentative title for my novel was Girls. And
oh my God.
And so I was like alone in the middle of nowhere, like internet, the next internet place where I can get internet is like a 2-hour bus ride away or an hour long bus ride away. So I'm really in the middle of nowhere writing this novel. I was dating this guy who also went to UVA actually on our, related to our topic. He was in Houston. He was in grad school in Houston. And so I could only like see him if I took a 5-hour bus to the capital city and got on Skype at an internet cafe, like extremely 2010. Like I was in the middle of nowhere. I did on Halloween actually. And I disguised myself as a high school student because I was grounded, because that's a thing that can happen in Peace Corps. And so I was like, if someone sees me in the Capitol, I'll get kicked out, which I had almost been kicked out a bunch of times. And so I was like in this like elaborate disguise and it was like kind of cool because I was, well, speaking of the sort of high school, you know, the excitement of, you know, doing high school drag, like I was in this, to me, fairly exotic, like, you know, I'm just like a Kyrgyz schoolgirl, and you know, I was in, and it was also my Halloween costume, and I was in an internet cafe and I was Skyping him, and my laptop was in my backpack like underneath me, and it got stolen, and with it my first novel called Girls.
No.
Isn't that
oh
so
my
funny
God.
I mean, it wasn't funny then, but it to me now is so funny.
And then Lena Dunham found it and did
stole
a few,
it.
Yeah, like did like a few edits. She was
she
like,
took
okay,
the
instead of a
crash
plane
out, but
yeah, yeah. She was like, instead of a plane crash, she drinks a tea.
Yeah. Exactly.
Instead of
and
like over the
pilot.
Day, they like go to Bushwick.
Yeah. But isn't that it's what could have
I mean
been,
that's
you know?
Actually insane.
I know.
Truly. Wow. So for us, the equivalent of the plane crash was the guy telling us to fuck off.
Yeah.
That's so, I mean, I might have missed some key details of that story. I was extremely soothed by your intro just there. But I feel like that's a really interesting conversation. And if someone walked by me on the street discussing, I would be weigh in, you know, I would want to weigh right. in, not tell, not yell at you.
Yeah, I mean, he was clearly, not to make more narrative around him, but he was afraid of learning more. He was overwhelmed by knowledge.
He was simply afraid, of putting lipstick on a butthole.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, Sam, did you answer if your butthole is touching your pants? Oh, wait, no, we've already answered it. It is because it chafed.
Because it chafed. I mean, this is... I'm literally like, people, everyone weigh
wait,
in.
Wait, hold on.
I think people's buttholes will chafe on denim. Unless they have strong buttholes.
Not if you've got the cheeks, you know? Not if you've really
got the cheeks. And so what I want to say, the reason why Sam wanted to use the scientific method is because we were like, okay, you did this once and your butt happened to chafe. So maybe it just was something else that made it chafe that one
100%.
Time. And it wasn't causation 100%. Versus, you know what I mean?
You would have to do it probably 100 times.
100 times.
And get the percentage out of
100. I mean, you know? By that point, you know, you need institutional funding.
Exactly. Double blind, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you need a grant, really.
Yeah, I mean.
And of course, we know how the grant, you know, that kind of grant application process can be so hard and it can take years. And the politics.
I'm imagining sort of a patent application with the diagram, you know?
Oh, like, yeah.
The experimental design. Yeah.
Gia, I have a question. What were the names of your characters in Gia Tolentino's Girls?
I would love to know.
You know what? I don't even remember because the whole fucking thing was stolen. Like, it in a way that this story is actually like one of the reasons that I like maybe decided to try to become a writer, which was not an ambition that I had prior to that because it seemed unrealistic, or it like does still seem a little unrealistic. But I don't fucking remember because like, A, I was completely insane the entire time I was in Peace Corps. And also like, it was gone. Like it's, you know, I worked... Like it was just gone, you know, I had no backup. And so like, I remember that one of them was a teacher because one of the girls it was based on was a teacher, you know, like it was really closely based on three of my close friends at UVA or like my, I don't fucking remember.
Damn.
And it was a full novel draft.
It was like 120 pages, you know, so pretty far for, you know, when you're that age,
that's pretty far.
Wow.
Wait, okay.
Damn.
Sam, wow. I've been trying to think. Okay, so as we know, we went to school together, and I knew about you, and we met because you were in that improv group, right?
Yeah.
With
yeah.
my ex-boyfriend, who I dated wow. for all of college.
You dated him all of college? That is crazy.
Sam, like, he, like, I have lived with a man, with the exception of maybe 9 months in my entire life, more or less nonstop since I was 16. Like, that's what I mean when I say I'm tragically straight. Like, I've lived with a man in my house. Like, not just, like, it, like, in my, like, it's, I really think I should have not done that in college, but somehow I did. And not like I had male roommates, but this was like, he was in my room for 3 years, you know?
I had no idea.
But you know what? So he started that group. What is the name of it? I've been trying to remember it.
The improv group was called Amuse Bouche.
Amuse Bouche.
Oh, my
Sashir.
God.
With Sashir, right?
Sashir. Yeah. With Sashir.
Didn't he start it? Oh, Natasha.
Yeah.
Oh, I just saw her this. Oh, she's, that's right. Because I don't want to cast aspersions on this man who I truly, truly loved, you know, from ages 17 to 20 or whatever. But I think he started it because he kept not getting into the Weathermen, which is the group that all of my roommates were in. And so,
oh my God, in retrospect, you were torn between two worlds.
In retrospect, I was like at the linchpin of what I now also in retrospect recognize to be like quite a tense domestic situation.
I mean, the beef between Amuse Bouche and the Weathermen was so strong.
Was it really real?
Oh my God. It would be like,
did you guys like go to each other's shows, but pretend that you were supportive, but also, or would you just like do a sort of what, like,
no, we would try. We tried to work together. We tried, like, I remember like trying to like,
you did like a double show,
maybe like throw group parties or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was always like, I mean, we were always interpreting them as like miffing us and like thinking they're better than us because they were more popular, of course. But,
you guys were new. Is Amuse Bouche still going?
I think they are. I think cool. they are.
George, is this thrilling for you hearing about UVA improv rivalries?
Well, it's funny because this has come up before.
Oh, really?
I mean, it has come up when we had Sashir on.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny. Everyone from Sam's past, it's always something. Like, when we had Jeremy O'Harris on, Jeremy and Sam went to high school together, and Jeremy bullied Sam in high school.
Perfect.
And they had, like, a come to Jesus moment where Jeremy, to his credit, fully apologized to Sam on air for bullying him in high school.
It's really nice. Yeah,
it was actually very
I'm so
sweet.
I'm glad you had that moment. I wish I had bullied you so that
similar, you know. If you want to apologize for anything, now.
Yeah, no, I was trying to, I was like, okay, what like minor slight can I bring up and we can like really get into? And it's like, there actually
isn't
one.
It's not really, like, it was, we were kind of ships in the night, I feel.
I was also like, you met me, I was like so timid and quiet then. I was like definitely, like,
well,
I was afraid
is
of.
Also such a straight school. It's why I went there. I was like, my odds of getting a cute boyfriend will be much higher here than in many other places.
Well, Gio was like, as long as there's no gays there, sign me up.
Yeah, I was so homophobic. I was like, I need to minimize.
Yeah, and you still are.
Famously.
Famously.
Okay, Gia, because we're like already getting kind of into the topic, I want to get our little segment out of the way, and then I want to dive right in we're here to talk about.
Also, you have a 10 o'clock show to make, so talk about.
I know. I'm literally going to have to like get in an Uber instantly after finishing this.
No, it's going to be great. Yeah. It's going to be great. They told us there was pizza there, so that's good enough for me.
Nice. It's going to be really good pizza.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? I gotta tell you, where I am, it is a rainy evening in New York. I am staring at multiple unanswered emails and I am feeling drained. It can be easy for people to ignore their social batteries and spread themselves thin, especially when social gatherings are picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And on a personal note, you know, I love therapy. It gives me an opportunity to talk more about myself, which is my favorite thing. And honestly, sometimes I even like doing it not into a microphone. It helps me learn positive coping skills and be the best version of myself. And sometimes, honestly, it's just nice to have a sounding board once a week to chat about all the things that are making me say, oh, brother. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/stradio today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/straightio.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Gia, our first segment is called Straight Shooters. And in this segment, we test your familiarity with and complicity in straight culture by asking you a series of rapid fire, completely nonsensical questions where you have to pick one thing or another thing. And the one rule is you can't ask any follow-up questions about how the game works. And if you even dare to do so, you will be kicked out of the Zoom at once.
Yeah, it'll be Peace Corps style. We'll
Yeah, so put your little teenage outfit on and get ready.
I'm strapped in. You have to say that, right, because Sam? You have to stop people from immediately asking the question of, like,
it's
how do I get
Yeah, well, it's now people have kind of caught on and no one does
I've listened to it, but
in the beginning, it was very much like part of the joke was people kept asking questions and we kept getting mad at them.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm strapped in.
Okay, great. Okay, Gia, the fall of Twitter or the rise of Gru?
The rise of Gru.
Okay, Gia, the New Yorker Radio Hour or the one and only Al Roker's incredible staying power?
Oh my God. I like not to be just okay. I guess I have to say the New Yorker Radio Hour because I work there.
Okay. Being above average or watching Below Deck?
Being above average.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Donating to a cause or living for the applause?
Living for the applause.
Okay, Frankenstein's monster or Frank and Brian's third?
Frank and Brian's third.
Okay, get him to the Greek or get her a tequila shot. It's Cinco de Mayo, bitch.
Get her a tequila shot. It's Cinco de Mayo, bitch.
I love that. Figgy pudding or faggy posture?
I feel like I can't utter even part of a slur, so I'm going to say figgy pudding.
Okay. All right, Gia. Democracy is on the ballot or the autocracy of Alison Roman's shallot?
The autocracy of Alison Roman's shallot.
Wow. Perfect.
Wow.
I mean,
incredible. Tens across tens the board.
I answered based on desire, like, which I like.
Yeah. At any given point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would much prefer an Alison Roman shallot rather than an election where democracy is
I'm
on
so
the ballot.
I'm so tired of democracy being on the ballot.
I know. I know. I have to say, I really am, we cannot talk about politics, but I am having kind of a crisis where I was always like, democracy is on the ballot is such bad messaging. Like,
you
to
think?
Appeal to like a normal person. But I'm wrong, it seems. I mean, based on these results, I'm like, wow, I really thought I was like so much smarter than everyone. And I was like, no, you can't, like, people don't care about, like, you know, vague truisms and kind of, like, that kind of, like, theoretical stuff. Like, they want to know, like, what's going on with the economy. And then it turns out I was wrong.
You know what not to get into it, but did you guys see that I voted sticker that's, like, the monster, you know, like, the cute, mm-hmm. the Ulster County? Yeah. So that's the county I vote in. And ooh. I got 3 stickers, not to brag. And because my
committing
kid
voter
went,
fraud.
My kid went twice, like once with me and then once with my partner. And so she got, and then we were like, give that to me. And turnout in Ulster County was sky high. And so if everyone had like a meme stock version of the I voted sticker, I honestly think it would boost turnout better than anything, you know, that's my idea.
Yeah.
If any political strategists are listening.
Yeah. No, it is true that they could do so much with the I voted sticker, even just different kinds of party favors.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they could kind of, I mean, it could be, you know, sponsored by a brand.
Yeah. You know, lipstick, jock straps.
You know, what people have never thought of is making the elections privatized and sponsored by brands.
Yeah, I think that's actually a great idea.
That's a really good idea. You could get a little t-shirt.
Oh,
yeah, Bank like a Doritos Locos talk is like very like South by Southwest circa 2014.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. I would love that. Yeah. I mean, it does feel like, I mean, it feels like you should get something for free afterwards.
You do, the sticker. And that's what I'm
saying.
Well,
you do like, get the sticker and the pen.
Okay, but...
Oh, I don't get a pen. Damn. But see, if you make the sticker good enough, people will feel like, you know, I'm just saying, like, everyone needs to have the dumbest possible sticker.
Yes. Like, limited edition drops where it's like...
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, you can only get this at a specific voting booth. It's like the Supreme Metro cards.
That's how I felt, you know?
You should get to watch a trailer for a new movie that hasn't come out yet.
I completely agree.
Because the demographic that's missing from the polls is the film nerd demographic. All these movie buffs are refusing to vote.
It's true.
What if you just got like a piece of pizza? That would be cool. The college tactic,
I mean,
you know, we're inching ever closer to our topic.
Yeah.
Inching ever closer.
Even just like a little kind of like thing of Dunkin' Donuts and you can get a little donut hole.
Yeah. They have the big corporate little carafe, the cardboard carafe.
And a little. That would be amazing.
That'd be lovely.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. One more thing. They need to step and repeat.
Completely agree.
Brilliant. Imagine if that giant spider had been a huge step and repeat.
Oh my God.
99.9% turnout.
I just
that's actually a genius idea.
It's a really good idea because it's actually cheaper. First of all, it's reusable. You just like you know, roll up the carpet and you can use it again. And then the background is, of course, just a giant piece of paper. Go to Kinko's.
Right.
You're there. It is cheaper than actually getting a bunch of different things to give
out. And it probably
doesn't
contravene any sort of like whatever, FEC, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not partisan. All it will say is like election 2022, midterms 2022.
Sponsored by Doritos.
I mean, that's,
genius.
I have to say, Sam, that is
that's
truly
really
genius. And everyone has a phone with a camera. You don't need like a photographer there taking photos.
Well, they should hire a photographer, to be honest.
You're right. Yeah, and it should have the Getty watermark. Otherwise, what's the point?
Do you guys know about 0.5 selfies? Do you guys take 0.5 selfies? Do you know about this?
Is this like wide mode or something?
It's crazy. So I told you like last night I was with all these college students and they were like all taking, they were like, let's take 0.5 selfies. And I was like, yeah, you know, and I had no idea what they were doing. And it's you turn your phone, they take it, but it's front facing. So it's like not the typical, like, I feel like I take, you know, we take selfies. I don't know how old we all
are. So it's it's like the back camera. It's the back camera.
It's like, yeah, but and then it goes on 0.5. So you look really tiny.
Yes, yes, yes. I have seen this.
Yeah. And they were like, and I was like, oh, is this what you, and they were like, oh, we never take selfies any other way. And I was like, whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
It's kind of fun. You kind of look like those Steve Madden ads where it's like the face is like smaller. And it is weirdly flattering because it's so kind of weirdly shaped that you don't actually see any of your actual features.
Yeah. 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 It's like fisheye.
Well, it's a rejection of traditional beauty standards.
That's exactly. It's a rejection of traditional beauty standards. And
it's
in
radical,
that way,
really.
It is
it's radical.
Yeah. Okay, so so we need a red carpet, a step and repeat.
A Gen Z person to tell everyone how to take 0.5 selfies in case you go with a group, right?
Yeah, of course.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, I think we've saved democracy. I mean, democracy is off the ballot because we fixed it.
Yeah, democracy is off the ballot because it won.
Let's get into the topic, actually.
Let's do it.
So, you know, backstory for those who weren't here before the Zoom started, the listeners. You know, we brainstormed something together that I think is actually pretty juicy. It's sorority and even Greek life.
Yeah, it's one of those topics that you'd think would be like one of our first five episodes, but it just never came up, and so we've never done it.
You know, something I learned in my improv training at the University of Virginia is that you don't always need to think of the weirdest thing. You can just say, what's the most obvious thing, and sort of run with that, because people will want to hear about that.
Me and my roommates, also, we have matching rat tattoos on our butts, not our buttholes, on our butts, because we had such a terrible rat infestation at our home on 14th Street that by the end of it we were insane and just all got matching tattoos. Actually the boys didn't though, but the girls I got matching tattoos with, the girls that Girls was based on, the Girls, the HBO TV show. But we would always like threaten to try out for the weather, like the improv troupe. Like we would always like, when it was time, we were always like, guys, like we're coming. And our roommates would be like, haha, like we think you're really funny, you should, you know. But we were like, no, we're gonna, you know.
Wow.
And they were so, you know, like the fear of God was in their eyes that they would have to just acknowledge in a formal way that we were not like funny the way that they were.
Well, but it's not just that. It's that men are very afraid when women pursue comedy.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
A famous trope. So you were in a sorority.
Yeah, I was in a sorority.
Which one, if you don't mind me asking?
It was called Pi Phi. It was
oh my God, you were a Pi Phi?
I was a Pi Phi.
We had Pi Phis where I went to college.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Stanford and they were Pi Phis.
Is it a big Greek scene there?
No, it's like a medium small Greek scene, I would say. But it's definitely so I was in the co-op scene, which was like where all the like queer people and hipsters were. Yeah. And we were like cooking vegan food together and having like doing mushrooms. Mm-hmm. And like that was kind of the vibe. And then the straight people who had like secret Republican parents were all in the fraternities and sororities. So Pi Phi, I feel like, was like one of the more Republican ones. Theta was kind of like normie but cool. Mm-hmm. Tri-Delt was like lame, literally like don't even look at her. And then Kappa was all of them turned out to be gay.
Oh, cool.
Oh,
and probably I'm sure they had. I mean, I always think about if I was, and I literally, I mean, I'm not exaggerating when I say always, like I frequently, very, very frequently think about if I had been a woman like in prior to the 1400s, if I had been alive, I would have absolutely tried to join a nunnery because it's the only way that you could get through life without being like just randomly impregnated every 2 years from 16 to 36, you know? And I'm like, I would have joined a nunnery and I probably would have had tons of great sex with the other nuns, you know?
Yeah. And also you would have had like time to read.
God, it would have been so peaceful.
Like it would 100% I would have had access to books in a way that I never would otherwise. But there were a bunch at UVA. I think there were probably like 35 total sororities and frats, but like, okay, here is, I honestly haven't thought about this in a really long time. The Pi Phis were like, it was split between, I would say, I mean, not like smart, like Wild Stoners, which was the group that I wanted to be a lot like, and like was like, I started Rush as a joke. Like me and my best friend from UVA, who's still really close, we were like, let's just Rush because we'll get invited to a bunch of parties, you know?
Yeah.
And we did it as a joke, and he dropped out eventually, but then I like got really obsessed with this certain group of girls in Pi-Phi. And then half were kind of Bible beady, you know, like liberal Christians that wore corduroy kind of vibes. And then the other cool ones were like Kappa and Theta. Kappas were blonder. Thetas were cokier, I think. Then there was Tridel, and everyone in Tridel was really hot. And I think those were the four, or no, DG was the one that everyone was really hot. And I think those were the ones that, you know, and I was like, I mean, it's just this like totally gross hierarchical, like I was, you know, I wasn't not cool in high school, but I wasn't like the coolest person. And once it was like, oh, these girls at this thing that everybody perceives as, it was purely just like a status, like, oh my God, these extremely objectively, universally, you know, within the Greek scene recognized to be cool girls like me, like then I have to do it. And then I instantly was like, what have I done? You know, and instantly started sending extremely, you know, aggressively sarcastic emails being like, oh, when are we going to show up for the dick sucking contest? Like, you know, like, cause like there were all of these like, oh, like what's our theme for, you know, it was so stupid.
So even in the moment you weren't like quite able to like lose yourself in it.
Oh no. I never, I don't think I ever, I went to maybe like four. I mean, I went to frat parties first year. Did you, Sam?
Yeah, I went to frat parties. Cause
it's like the only place that you can really drink as a first year at UVA. But then after that, I probably went to like four total my whole time there. Like I don't know why I remained. I like maybe for like it sort of quickly morphed into. I mean, it also started as an anthropological interest, like kind of like a proto journalistic. Like I would go through Rush, and it's almost also like to see how well I could bullshit. Like someone would be like, oh, you know, where are you from? And I'd be, or like they'd be like, I'm from Boston. I'd be like, oh my God, I'm from Boston, you know? And just see, because Rush is like this elaborately choreographed, like it's like there's, you know, 100 girls like planted in these like exact spots that are choreographed to look spontaneous. But, and then like every 2.5 minutes, like someone sets off like an obscure sort of smoke signal and then you rotate, you know? So I knew that every conversation would only last 2.5 minutes. And so I would just see how successfully I could lie, you know? And then, but wow. Then by the end, I was like desperate for the Pi-Fis to like me. And then I joined.
Wow.
I feel like a lot of colleges like that, where you're like, of course, everything is so artificial. All the different groups are like fake and are going to be disbanded within the span of like 2 to 4 years. And so part of you is always like, this is bullshit. But then there is that part of you that's like, but I do want community. Yeah. What am I going to do? Not have friends?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the way just college forces everyone to like take everything really seriously for some, like it's nice that you had the foresight.
We all went to colleges where people take stuff too seriously, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I had the opposite. So when I lived in one of these kind of like hip co-ops, at some point, these two straight guys came back from being abroad, and rather than being chosen, like everyone else, we had kind of like chosen each other to live together, but they were kind of placed in that house because that's where there were empty rooms. So suddenly this group of us, of all these people that were like thought of ourselves to be so cool and so hip and like making our stir fries, suddenly there were two like buff straight guys living there. And all of us were like, okay, I feel unsafe. I'm gonna like
were they down for the vibes?
No, I mean, they were just normal. Like, it wasn't their fault. They didn't choose to live there. That just, like, was where they were placed. Gotcha. They should have probably lived in, like, a fraternity or something. Yeah. Like, you know, whatever. They were, like, too, like, athletic. Like, they would, like, play, you know, like, throw a football around in the backyard or whatever, while all of us were, you know, I don't know, debating. But it was truly, like, I remember, like, going up to, like even having conversations with like the house manager, the RA, and being like, well, this simply won't do. What is our plan to get them out?
And did they say?
No, they were not. There was no plan.
But they did stay.
So they did say, yeah, sorry. Oh, I thought you said, did they say? No, they did stay. Yeah, they stayed.
And did you have any sort of lovely sort of like, you know?
Yeah, was there a little narrative? Was there an arc?
Yeah.
I did kind of start to appreciate them. And to be honest with you, I also found them incredibly hot.
Right. I'm like, I'm really, I was like, I'm hoping that like, then you started fucking and then. Like...
Yeah, you did describe them as muscular and you were sort of painting a picture.
And you know what else happened that really changed my mind is that we had this like some kind of, I don't know, Halloween party or costume party or something. And they both showed up in togas. And I was like, all right.
You're down to clown.
You can stay.
You're down to clown.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the... My God, the fucking Greek system. I owe it, like, as much as I think it should be completely like, you know, as a methodology of sort of class matching, you know, like household wealth and rough attractiveness, conventional attractiveness, like it really just, I feel like, serves its function as just this almost algorithmic, like, you know, like there were so many.
Well, yeah. And also like racist and racialized hierarchies.
Oh, yeah. They were always like, trying to get me in the brochures, you know, and I was like, no, yeah. Thank you. You know, like me and like the three other people that weren't white. But like there were a lot of people from my sorority and my boyfriend's frat that got married. Like it was like, you know, it was they were really kind of evenly matched in the whatever. But but I met him because. Actually, drama. I met him because he was dating a girl in my sorority. Drama. She broke up with him.
So while you were sending those sarcastic emails, you were also keeping your eye out.
I will say I only met him once in college and I was like, you know, he's cute. And then she broke up with him. And then he was doing grad school in Houston where I was killing time before Peace Corps because I grew up in Houston. And they had broken up like, you know, a year ago. And then I was like, hello.
Oh, they had already broken
up.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, come on. I would never. But there was a guy in his frat who is spellbindingly attractive. Like he was just, I mean, like I would go speechless around him. And and guys in the frat, I know it happened at least a few times where it's like the guys would always be trying to have threesomes with him being like, bro, like she really wants to. So like, I guess we have to fuck or whatever.
God. Yeah.
You know, but it was like just this guy, you know, that they just really wanted a pretense to have sex around, you know?
Wow.
And I was like, I love that for you guys, you know?
I mean, the obvious thing that we need to talk about is hazing and like the homoeroticism of
exactly.
Frats specifically in gay male culture are so, that is like porn topic one is like frat hazing. And I like did not ever do frat in, oh yeah. I didn't do a frat in college.
Well, yeah,
but
it's
it
like,
was like
someone, what's the thing that you use to spank?
Paddles?
Like,
yeah, the
little
paddles.
Brand paddle. Or the, yeah. There's lots of like ass stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's exactly. Lots of dick and ass stuff. It really is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It really, but it was like, I didn't rush a frat, but I was like, well, wait, are they like hooking up? Like, are they like tugging on their dicks a little? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. Well,
because, and they kind of are, right?
They are.
And like, that's the craziest part.
Well, so, I mean, sometimes it's through something like somebody is really hot and they're like, we gotta have a threesome, bro, you know? Or like, I had a really good friend that was gay that was also in Andrew's frat and he wasn't out through college, but he had a lot of covert hookups that I think were, you know, both, you know, demeaning in the context of them being, you know, ashamed of what they were doing, you know, and he was in a strange place in his own coming out journeys from the South, whatever. But it also sounds incredibly hot, you know, like he would have those things where like it would be 4 a.m. And, you know, frat bros are so handsy, you know, they are touching each other's butts all the time, slapping each other on the dick. Like they know, you know,
they know where
communal bathrooms like
that dick is.
And but like they're just all they're so I mean, I think about it. To some extent. I mean, this is too complex of a topic to really, but the extent to which it's healthy versus unhealthy, you know, that these men have an outlet for, you know, it would be probably better if they could recognize homoerotic desire and like a normal part of, you know, a part that doesn't have to be sort of institutionally structured in the most like, quote unquote, straight way. But I think often like my partner, he is still close. I mean, he's pretty anomalous for a straight man. I gather the older I get, but him and the guys that he's friends with from his frat, like they talk on the phone about their feelings pretty often still, you know? And I'm like, I'm glad that this, you know, that your stunted ass, like at 18 found a structure through which that you would not through which you would have these relationships that you would in your 30s be getting on the phone being like totally. Like, how you doing, Trey? Like, you know, like, you know, and I feel like a lot of straight guys don't do that. And the frat, it inculcated an almost like a girl talk kind of relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of what the point of like hazing rituals and these more and like the violence of it and everything and getting drunk and doing drugs and whatever is that it's like a way to, it's like the male way to bond so that finally after you've done all of that, you can talk on the phone.
Right, 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 exactly. It's right. It's, I mean, there's, I'm sure that they would all agree.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I will say also sorority hazing was amazing because all it was people being like, you have to chug, you know, this magnum of Boone's Farm and here's like a giant bag of weed, you know?
Okay, that's crazy that you say that because I remember in college sorority hazing, the things I heard were insane. So
one thing they had to do. Like the body stuff?
Yeah, like the body. Really? So there are two things I remember. One is that they had to, I think, if anyone I went to college with is listening, then sorry if this is wrong, but I think it was Kappa. They had to crawl on their hands and knees from one fraternity house to another as part of, and I can't remember like the details of like maybe they were picking up something from each one or like there was some kind, but they were like crawling on their hands and knees on the street from one house to the other for some kind of like scavenger hunt. And then the second thing, and I can't remember where this happened, was that they would like, the girls would wear underwear and sit on top of like a washing machine and they would circle wherever their fat like jiggled.
Oh my God.
Like wherever they had. Isn't that insane?
That's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't realize it actually still happened. Like I feel like that was the, yeah.
I mean, again, I don't know if this was like, if at that point it didn't happen, but it had happened in recent history.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
I
yeah.
knew people that had done it, yeah.
Ours was just like you had to shotgun too many beers. Like it was such a lovely, lovely thing. Oh, I just remembered there was a hazing ritual in my boyfriend's frat that I love. I'm trying to think if I'm remembering it right. But so everyone has to get in their underwear, and then they kind of walk in a single file line back and forth like this, and just have to go quack 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 quack, and they get pelted with eggs. And when an egg hits them, they have to go ding and reverse directions.
Oh my
like, to
God.
Me, that sounds really funny.
Yeah, I mean, that's playful. That doesn't sound that bad.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like...
It's also about the tone. Words? Like, the tone of whoever's leading the hazing, if they were, like, had a warm tone to them, I would be totally okay quacking like a duck and getting pelted with eggs.
Yeah.
If it was, like, you know, fuck you, get on your knees, frosh, I would be like, no!
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't handle the... It's all about how it's delivered for me.
Yeah, I had one of my really good friends from high school, he dropped out of the rush process at University of Texas, which is way more intense, because I think it was like KA or something, which is a really intense frat. And I think they had to just punch each other in the face as hard as they could. And I was just like, what the fuck? You know, like there was a lot of the UVA stuff. Some of it was really disgusting. Like there was some broken glass stuff. There was one frat that... oh my God, speed. It was like the really druggy one. I think it was like you had to do a bunch of coke and then get in a coffin, and then they would put the coffin in the basement, and they'd have a party over you.
Oh,
that's crazy.
No.
Oh my
like,
God.
That's crazy. And your heart just would be like, you know.
That is terrifying.
I know. But some of the UVA stuff was crazy, but some of it, it wasn't as like in the deep, deep South. It's just, I mean, it's like snuff film territory.
Yeah. UVA was weird.
Are you from Virginia, Sam?
I lived in Virginia like my last 2 years of high school.
Gotcha.
But it was like, even just like the war between the like GDIs, like the independence.
Oh my God. Do you think they still say, I don't think they said that. I talked to someone that was in law school at UVA recently that just graduated and was like, Foxfield isn't cool anymore, which is also great news. Like everyone would get dressed up and go to the horse races and like wear hats.
The South is insane.
It's so crazy. Also, when I started school there, and humiliatingly, this was one of the things I was attracted to, like very straight culture. Like you would go to football games. It was the thing was called guys in ties, girls in pearls. Oh my God. And then they would yell not gay during the fights on.
Yeah,
like, they would be crazy. UVA was awful. Like, I mean, it was only because I had come from a place that was so much worse that, like, to me, UVA at the time seemed like liberal paradise. And then, you know, 30 seconds after I left, or no, long before that, I was like, you know, this place is insane. But people don't do that anymore.
It felt like liberal paradise to me too when I got there.
Yeah.
Like I was very much like, okay, like it's like, well, of course they're gonna say not gay, like, but they're still there's
just
like love
around,
in their heart,
you know? Like,
yeah,
it's tradition.
Like they're good guys, like, like yeah, it's bad to be gay. They're gonna say not gay, but like they're gonna be nice.
Were you out in college?
I describe it as 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
Sure.
I was like I came out to my friends like second year, but like I was always like. weird about it. Like, it was like almost like half secretive or something.
Sure.
Even though it wasn't like, I wasn't like, people would could talk about it or whatever, but I would like, my example is like when I was in a Spanish class, I would say novia, not novio, you know?
Interesting.
So it was kind of embarrassing to look back on. It's one of my big regrets is that I should have been more out about it.
I don't know. It wasn't the easiest. I mean, the extent to which stuff has changed in the last decade, specifically there, but, you know, obviously everywhere, but specifically, I mean, it was still like, I feel like it was still 2002 until 2015, until the Rolling Stone story came out. And then suddenly everyone was like, we got to overhaul all this shit, you know?
Yeah,
but it really
truly.
Was like very like, you know, just like, I remember there was a guy in my like scholarship class who wore a ribbon belt when he went jogging. And I was just always like, I fucking want to murder you. You know, like he just, but it was just that it was really like 2002 vibes for me, like very like Laguna Beach, like, you know.
Yeah, it was very Laguna Beach. It's also like
flat ironed hair and like, you know.
I'm remembering a story, someone in my year, and maybe this is boring, someone in my year who was like, frat hazing literally like kidnapped somebody.
Oh,
to, like,
yeah, there
like,
was kidnapping.
As part of the haze, like, found someone on the street and like snatched them up, put them in a van, and drove off.
Well, there was, I mean, there were frats that got kicked off campus because of the fucked up hazing shit they did. Like, there was one frat that used to kidnap people, basically. I think we're probably thinking of the same one. And I think they would just be in their underwear, and it was during the middle of winter because rush at UVA was in January. And they would drop them off on Route 29 and with nothing.
Wait, kidnap the people that were like about to, that were being recruited to
the
frat?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it was, you know, okay. It was, I think they probably knew that this, had probably heard that this was coming, but they would pick them up in their underwear, bring them, you know, 10 miles out, no phone, no anything. And they'd be like, have fun getting back, you know?
Oh my God.
Like it's, I mean, it is so, it is really funny like how pathological, how much profound harm like straight men have to cause to each other to get to the point where they can talk on the phone.
But that's the thing. But it really is. It's like they have to do that. It's almost like the ends justify the means for them, because they're like, well, these are my brothers
now. For life.
And what were we going to do? Like get a drink and bond? I don't think so.
Do you think they do that now?
Get
though?
A cocktail?
Don't you think like aren't there like tender bros, tender straight bros now?
Yeah. Wait,
I
can
wonder.
I actually
I'm not
say
sure.
This?
Yeah.
This is like, I was talking about this today. So I feel like because of a very well intentioned reaction against toxic masculinity, I now am like a little unaware about what men actually want.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, because it's, I was thinking about this today where I was like, who is the equivalent, even just in terms of like a random average Joe straight guy, what does he even find attractive?
Oh, I feel like
I genuinely don't know, because I'm like, even the like Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue has like Elon Musk's mom on the cover.
Did it really?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And it was like, you know, it's so, which is great. I mean, I'm not, it's obviously like, it's everything is moving, but I'm just like scientifically or like anthropologically, I'm like, I now fundamentally don't understand straight men. Even I understand them even less than I did in like 2002, where at least it was all out in the open. Yeah. I was like, oh, you like Bud Light and fetishizing twins.
Right. Right. Well, I still think there's probably sort of like a regression to the mean that you could conjure right now. Like it's probably like, you know, like what goes through a lot of sports media on their phone, has listened to Joe Rogan two times, like loves a Instagram model looking girl.
Sure.
You know, like still watches football on the weekends.
Fair.
Kind of
sports
thing. Like
is
probably
big,
is into crypto, you know, that kind of thing, like
that's
Reddit
true.
And crypto. But my brother, who is straight, I recently was asking him, I was in the Philippines. I recently spent more time with my brother than I basically have since I was 16 years old, because we've never lived in the same place. And we were in the Philippines for almost 2 weeks because my grandma turned 100, which was an iconic occasion to make, you know, this incredibly long trek with my two-year-old. But I was with a bunch of cousins that I haven't seen in a long time. So I was asking everyone, I was like also drunk, and I was asking everyone what their shame type is. Do you guys know this concept?
Wait, I
don't know.
I've never heard of this.
So it's like, you know, the genre of human that you're most consistently attracted to, despite knowing that you should be ashamed of yourself.
Oh,
wow.
Which I think is a really interesting, like it really tells you a lot about a person. And everyone's answers are very interesting, because it's either usually, it's almost always someone that they don't respect or someone that doesn't respect them. Like it's like those, all of these issues are really intertwined. But I found out at that point like, ugh, I don't want to blow it. I mean, there's no way my brother or his ex-girlfriend listens to this podcast. He was like, like, he was like, toxic Latina that's really into her own booty. And I was like, you're describing your ex-girlfriend. And I was like, your shame type is like, you know, EDM festival, like bikini, boots with the fur, you know, like, yeah, you know, glitter here, girl. And then he showed me a picture of his ex-girlfriend, like, dressed exactly like that, you know, in like, exactly, in like spandex with cutouts and like, you know, like leading him towards like the festival gates, mm-hmm, right? And I was like, oh, you're this kind of straight guy, you know? Like, I knew he liked girls that worked out, but I was like, you're like really into like hyper fit women in a way that I was like, this is a new, anyway, but it was, so what are your shame types?
Oh God.
George, you go first. We always...
Well, you know, Sam really doesn't have a lot of shame when it comes to sex.
Well, I have less, but I feel like it's been a learning process.
Well, not necessarily sex, like just attraction, like a desire to get them to like you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Mine is always like a little bit older and like meatier. Like, uh-huh. I like a coach. I'm always looking for coach.
But or, and like, do you feel... Would you say that's the most shameful of the sort of consistent attractions?
I think it's like kind of maybe even the more shameful version of that is just like plain, like that's like porny. Yeah. Like a coach is porny. But like when it's just like I like a plain, like honestly, OK, here's it, like a frat guy 10 years after.
Yeah.
A frat. Yeah. Like that is so hot to me. And they're just like wearing a button down. And I'm like, God damn it.
Right. Their incredible. Only physical activity is playing golf once every 2 months. Kind of. Yep. Yeah.
And it really.
That's so funny. That's a good one. That's a really good
their
one.
Their chin
that
is
guy
gone.
10 years later.
It's amazing.
I feel like mine is maybe like. Okay. It's funny that you said like it's either what you don't respect or someone who doesn't respect you. I feel like for me, it's. Someone I don't respect and specifically respect kind of like, No, it's specifically kind of like a really like trend chasing fashion gay.
Love it. Like that kind of thing. That's such a good one.
Where I'm like, I fundamentally hate everything you stand for, but I so desperately like don't want you to look at, to like dismiss me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really good.
Wow.
That's really good. Like one of my friends is second funniest guy on the boat.
I love and, that.
Wow. You know? Wow.
That's rough. But I see it. And I can get into that.
Like another one of my friends is like old, sad punk. Another one of my friends is potato men, like just men that look like potatoes. Another one's is friendly 100%. Security guard.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Mine is
what's
like,
yours?
Mine is LA music industry cokehead that's like 45.
Wow.
Like
I
wow.
Oh my God, yes.
My boyfriend's is lesbians who hate him.
Yep. Oh, another one of mine is bartender.
Oh yeah. Bartender comes up often. Like angry, sort of like that fucking couldn't care if you lived or died. Like
100%. Yeah, love that. You know, I to bring it back to frats, so we were talking about how part of the excitement of, you know, being gay in a fraternity environment is the illicit nature of it. So I, at some point, was told there was a frat when I was in college that was actually very inclusive and was known for being like 50% gay. Yeah. And I like wanted to check it out and whatever. And I remember being like, wait, this, why would I do that? Like at that point, like this takes any of the fun out of it. And I might as well just live in a mixed gender house with like all my girlfriends and all my guy friends. Like what, like, which is kind of sad to be like, wait, so everyone here is gay, feels safe, and is happy. And I'm like, absolutely not.
There's something to that.
No, I totally get that. Like, I that was one of the reasons that I have always had a pretty, I mean, like, maybe I'm a little closer to girls on the aggregate over the sum total of my life, but I've always had a really sort of mixed gender, like, close friend group. And I lived with guys throughout college, like guys who are my friends. And I was like, I don't want to fucking live in a room with 35 women. Are you kidding me? And it wasn't from, I don't think it is built-in misogyny, although there was probably some built-in misogyny about why I looked down on girls who were more, who were less ashamed than I was about craving hot straight male attention. Like I was like, I'm gonna do it, but I'm gonna like pretend I'm here for something else or whatever, you know?
Yeah, you're doing it ironically.
The structure. Like I was like, I'm doing it ironically, but there was something about the structure. It was like, you know, like tonight is our date function with like this frat, you know? And I was just like, it's so humiliating to do this.
Yeah.
But I went to UVA because I wanted to date hot guys. And but there was something about the blatantness of it. But I was like, the whole point of college, you know, to me coming out of this like really repressive religious environment throughout the entire rest of my life, was like, you can finally live the way that I feel like humans are intended to, which is in like kind of diverse housing environments, you know?
It's like,
the part of it where it's like, I'm gonna live with people that are all exactly like me, like in this extremely narrow way, felt really opposite to what the whole point of like, the fun is like living with people and the kind of mess of, the messier nature of living with people that are different sexualities and different genders.
Totally.
Like it seemed like that was like, that's what I wanted out of college. And then to be dating a cute straight guy.
Yeah. I mean, when I was living with men and women, I was like, this isn't your parents' college. Like, I was like, I guess I'm crazy.
Like my roommate, he's a guy.
Yeah. I had women roommates for all of, except for like freshman year when I was placed with someone. But yeah. And I have to say, very powerful. I mean, to have like gay guy, straight girl roommate dynamic,
the most powerful,
one of the most powerful
that you can ever have.
I do, you know, I was thinking, Sam, like now, I mean, when we go to like a gay vacation destination, it's like all these years later, we're literally in a house of men on Fire Island.
It's a frat.
It's a
recreating
frat.
The frat experience, but being intentionally.
Yeah.
Gay.
It's like we're literally like wearing jock straps and like working out and like. Like doing drugs.
Humiliating.
And then it's like,
it's truly,
yeah,
it's
you're
beautiful.
In a frat.
And honestly, and I'll say it, hazing each other.
Literally hazing each other. We're making each other walk on broken glass and
yeah,
pelting each other with eggs. No, our hazing
is passive aggressively
like,
making tacos.
Yeah, it's cleaning the kitchen is our hazing. Wow.
All right.
I mean, should we do our final segment?
I think so. Gia, any final thoughts on Greek life, sororities, fraternities?
No, I'm trying to think of the straightest and the gayest thing that I experienced. But it's as we maybe discussed, I don't remember, it was before, you know, we started rolling. But
sure.
I think it all is like it really is like the straightest and the gayest. Like there is nothing straighter and there's nothing gayer than a frat. Like yeah. I think we've concluded that for science.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just want to say for the record, I hooked up with one closeted frat guy.
Fun. Which one was he in? You can bleep it, but I want to know.
Oh, God. Okay, we can bleep it. I think his name was Dave.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember his last name.
Was he in that, like, the good guy frat? Was he in Phi Delta?
Yeah, I think he was.
I knew
like,
it.
Sweet guy frat. Do you know him? Did you know
him? No, but I'm, like, reading your type. You know what I mean? Like, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like very much, I found him literally on the internet.
Was he like a U guide? Like, was he like a really involved person?
He was a U guide.
I knew it. I know you, Sam. This may be the first time we're actually talking, but I fucking know you.
Well, I love that. I mean, that's crazy. I feel so seen.
Yeah.
huge. Well, I think now we should do our final segment.
Oh, well, here's my thing. I think last thing I'll say, I think more girls in sororities should fuck.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of like performative making out, maybe. But I really wish, like, I wonder now that like a lot of, you know, like in the last four years.
I do think now they are.
Yeah. Like, I think they must be. And I'm excited for them and sad that I did not expand my sexuality in that. And maybe I would have gotten into the whole thing more, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's not too late.
It's not too late. No, it's yeah.
Yeah. Go back to college. Join another sorority.
Well, the thing I was thinking, the thing that I love about New York, honestly, like, is that it's never too late for anything. Like, I was like, this is why I can never leave.
It's
because it's literally never too late for literally anything. Any weird life, not to say that hooking up with like any unexpected life decision that you could ever make in your life. Like, you could do it when you're 7 years. People like tight.
Yeah. You can really, and again, this is not about sexuality, but you can really relive your adolescence whenever you 100%. Want, as long as you're kind of well-dressed, no one will really bat an eye.
I mean, like, this is why I was like, oh, like, I have to, if I have a child, like, I have to stay in New York because this is where I can, like, I don't have to, like, get serious, you know? Like, nobody gets serious in here.
Yeah, you're like, I have a child, but it doesn't define me.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
Well, okay, we have to do it because I have to get in an Uber to the damn Bell House. This is going to be insane.
I cannot believe we're about to be on a stage. All right.
Is it y'all? Is it like your show? You're like the...
It's not our show. Which almost makes it more, not more stressful, but, you know, we're not in control of it. But we're, like, both guests on someone gotcha. Else's show.
And we, like, cool. don't really know. I don't even really know the format. Like, I haven't done this show in a while. So I'm, like, a little nervous.
I might just, like, have a little tequila shot and, like,
you absolutely should.
Yeah, I'm going to need that.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so our final segment is called Shoutouts. In homage to the Grand Straight tradition, we give a radio shout-out. Imagine it's 2001 and you're in TRL shouting out to your squad back home, but about anything that you enjoy. George, do you by chance
have one?
Okay,
I have perfect. One, yeah. How's it going, nighttime listeners? Everyone is putting on their skincare routines and getting ready for bed while we get ready for our show. I want to give a quick shout out to getting a virgin Bloody Mary at brunch. That's right. Sometimes you want the taste of a Bloody Mary and you don't want the alcohol. And on top of that, sometimes you're actually hungover as you are at brunch. And it is delicious. It is good for digestion, I heard. And it gives you something to drink that isn't orange juice or coffee. And also, everyone will think it's a huge slay to order something that other people haven't considered. And you will notice, and I promise you this, that if you do this, everyone else in the table will be like, well, you know what? Make that two. Make that three. Make that four. And then suddenly, everyone will be having a virgin Bloody Mary. It'll be the best morning of your life. Cheers.
Woo! Wow, woo! George, I love when you like have like little tips for like how to have power at the brunch table.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
I mean, I understand that, Sam, obviously you were, you know, almost spitting at me. That's how disapproving you were. However, I would say that, you know, yes, sometimes you want to drink at brunch, but sometimes you don't.
No, I actually never
want to drink at brunch, TBH.
I never want to drink at brunch ever. Never. I think this is genius. I think
it's really like a brunch is the perfect place for a mocktail of any sort.
I literally have not wanted to drink before noon since I was, I don't know, ever. Like, I just can't do it.
No, brings me no joy.
Yeah. No, it's Pi-Fi behavior.
Yeah. It's like, what is this, like, bid week 2005? Yeah, like, yikes, that was a long time ago. That's terrifying.
Wow. Okay, I'll go. What's up, everybody around the globe? I just want to give a huge shout out to Apple-based desserts. I have been getting into desserts recently. I've been deciding to stop being so stoic and stop being so against things that are pleasurable and just for fun. And so I am eating desserts sometimes, and I think one fruit-based desserts are the best. It's weird to me that we don't explore more of them. I'm watching the Great British Bake Off. I'm normal now, and there are so many fruit-based desserts, and I'm like, that's not in my stores. That's never been mentioned to me, and I don't want chocolate. I don't want vanilla. Give me orange. Give me lime. And so I want to say apple-based desserts, they're American. They're here. We have them in our stores, and they are delicious, and they are fall. They're autumnal, and it's autumn, baby, and I love them. XOXO. Same.
Woo, woo. Okay. I love fruit-based desserts.
I love that.
Can I? Yeah. Okay, have you ever made a blood orange olive oil cake?
Yes. I know exactly the recipe you're talking
about.
I
love that one. That's a really good, like, wintry one, I feel. And then there's also a Smitten Kitchen recipe for, like, an apple cake that has, like, the fat is, like, Greek yogurt. And it's, like, super moist. You can have it for breakfast. You can have it for late night. Like, it's a really – you can have it, like, 2 p.m. with a little coffee. Like, I love and a fruit dessert.
Yogurt based and olive oil based
the best.
Desserts are big.
Easily my favorite genre of desserts.
Yeah. So
good. I really need to expand my palate. I'm listening and I'm learning.
I'm gonna send you, I think that the blood orange one maybe is Food 52. There's another one, this is not fruit, but there's a olive oil zucchini bread that's
they stay moist for so
life.
Long, you know? Yeah. It's just really it's really nice. Also, I feel like an underrated thing is like I made like a pear mascarpone kind of like tart sitch and like for my last Friendsgiving type thing, and it was a hit. Just saying, it was a hit.
Wow. Well, there you have it.
I'm nervous to
Gia,
do this.
Would you like to do a shout out? Yeah, go for it.
What up, ladies? Shout out to all my Pi-Fi girls. You know, what are the colors? Burgundy and blue angels. Just want to say a huge shout out to Matty Healy from the 1975 because his show at MSG on Monday was so crazy. Luce, you were there. And it was like in between the, like they played the first album and then he did like what he called like Black Pill musical theater in between. And the first half, I hated it because I was like, this is giving Pratt student sophomore year final project. But then he started eating a raw steak. And then I was like, it's giving Pratt student second year final project in a good way. And then I was so horny and the rest of the show was amazing. Shout out Matty Healy.
Wow. Woo! Wow. An incredible shout out. Wow.
And honestly, I do think he fits into your shame type.
Oh, yeah, 100%. For sure.
Yeah. Oh my God, he was just ripping cigarettes on stage. I was like, it's so cool. Like, I was like, damn, it's cool.
Wow. When someone just is cool, you have to respect it.
Yeah.
Gia, how do you feel about Alex Turner from
Arctic Monkeys? Yeah, of course I think he's hot. You know, I mean, yeah. Like, anyone that is good at playing music is wild. I mean, yeah. He, I think, is hot just objectively. But like, I think that anyone, like anyone, literally anyone, if they are playing music on stage and they are doing it well, no, they are the most attractive person in the world. You know what I mean?
I agree. Yeah.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah.
Gia, thank you so much for doing this podcast. We really appreciate it.
It's been an absolute honor and a blast.
It has been so fun to talk to you guys.
We were so stressed out and we were really looking forward to this in particular.
No, I bet you're so stressed. We're like, oh God, I hope this is like fine. We have so much to do.
No. We were hanging out with people last night after the show going, guess who's on tomorrow? You won't believe who's on tomorrow.
It's true. It's true.
I hope you guys rip at the Bell House, have that tequila shot. Good luck with the flight.
Trust me.
Get a Virgin Bloody Mary on the flight. You. Everyone will be like, Slay, me. Like, make it too.
The flight attendants are just like exhausted by the end. Their knuckles are bleeding. Wow. Well, I guess this is the end.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Gia.
Bye.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at betterhelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.